we'd all love to hit skip on our problems now and again. But using weed to deal with stress as a teen won't make your issues go away. That's because THC messes with parts of the brain responsible for fear and anxiety, making it even harder to manage them on your own. So even the smaller things can start to feel difficult to handle. Learn better ways to deal with stress at mindovermarijuana.com. That's mindovermarijuana.com.
Sponsored by the California Department of Public Health.
This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to a brand new season and the very first episode of it. And to kickstart this season, we have an artist who's been gaining immense praises for her NFT project. So let's get to know everything about it from Cypher herself. Hello, Cypher. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you again. Cypher is an anonymous NFT artist. And as a writer and storyteller, Cypher has been published in magazines exploring the nature of identity and home. As an artist, her illustrations center around the stories of women. And to decode these stories and talk more about your inspiration, Cypher, tell me, where did this all begin from?
I guess like my vision to tell stories about women and crypto started when I first began in the NFT space around March. And, you know, as I was new to the space, it was quite interesting for me to see that a lot of the big collectors and even a lot of the big artists were mainly men. And it kind of mirrored what you see in like tech and science spaces there. It's very rare to find women in these spaces. So I wanted to tell stories about that to get people talking about why that is and how we can empower more women to take up space.
Mm-hmm. And before NFT, how did this whole journey come into the picture? You know, as an artist, how did it all start for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a writer and an illustrator for a few years now, and I've also been involved with crypto for a couple of years as well. And just from doing my own research, I saw what was happening in the NFT space and just felt like it was the logical continuation of two of my passions.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting. And, you know, this is the very first time I'm hosting an anonymous individual on the show. And where do you understand why? What's the story behind this? And how has it helped you, you know, in terms of your art or NFT in any possible way?
An anonymous artist has made it a lot harder. When you are an artist, you show your portfolio and the exhibitions you've done before or like the publications you've been published in before. And, you know, as an anonymous artist, I'm essentially starting from scratch all over again. Mm-hmm. But I think it's particularly important making NFT art as anonymous artists, just because I believe in the importance of protecting my data and my information. So I've never been particularly active on social media before. And that was just one of my reasons thinking about being anonymous in this space, just because of the frequency with which I use Twitter now and writing Medium articles about my project. It's just a way for me to protect my own data and privacy. That's quite important for me. However, I respect anyone else who wants to show who they are as an artist. That's important as well.
Right. That's a very interesting point you picked out that I'll be very honest. Before getting into the NFT world, I used to speak a lot about digital marketing. That's what is my profession, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I do a lot of conversations around podcasting as well. Speaking about thought leadership in digital marketing, you see, there is a guy who suddenly converted his feed into talking about ape and cats and dogs, right? And mm-hmm. suddenly you have your clients asking, what you been up to, right? So I totally get that. At times, you kind of want to, you know, create a separate identity for yourself for the kind of art or the kind of collections that you want to go after in NFT. But do you actually think that's in a way helpful from creating your own identity because you're starting from scratch and you have nothing to lose, nothing to win? It's a clean slate to begin with. And how do you focus on the personal branding aspect then in that case?
Well, that's very interesting because in terms of the personal branding, it is a lot harder when you're not telling your own personal identity and story. However, I want the work and what I'm offering to speak for itself. So I really want my message about women and the blockchain and our data to be the main, to be what people think of when they hear of Cypress CHK. I don't want them to particularly think about who I am as an artist, but I want them to think about my work. And that's why it's so important to me to be anonymous, because I don't want to speak for my work. I want my work to speak for itself.
Right. And apologies if it sounds like a noob, but what does CHK stand for?
Well, CHK just is like the abbreviated form for chick, like there's Cypher right. Chick. But sometimes people call me Cypher CHK. Uh-huh. And like the story behind choosing Cypher is like Cypher is the process in code in order to encrypt a secret message within that code. So that's what Cypher stands for. So I'm like the secret chick, I guess.
That's very mysterious in its own way and has a lovely story to say. And it's about, you know, people can never know who the face behind is, but can always value without putting a face to the art. So that's a wonderful story that you have to say there. Now, I'm very keen on knowing, you know, let's talk about your creation process. Your art is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Your projects before the Encryptas as well has been wonderful. And, you know, 10,000 pieces of art now for a project that massive as an artist. Mm-hmm. I would love to understand what goes in the creation process and the thought process for even initiating such a project.
Yeah, so I think the reason behind creating Encryptas was because I was hearing a lot of feedback from other artists or NFT collectors who wanted a 101 babe, but couldn't afford it at the floor price or the average price that I was selling it at.
Right.
And in order to expand the dimension, I thought, why not create a more accessible project at a very low floor price where more people can access and have my art and feel like they're participating in the evolution of this project. And in terms of creating the art for this project, I knew it had to be related to women and it had to be related to the message I'm telling about women in tech and science spaces. So that's why you have the faceless coder chicks. So it's still on theme with my 101 babes.
Right.
And it's all about women taking over the world through code and flowers.
And where did this inspiration come from? You know, as a starting point, let's talk about that very first thought that came to you about Encryptas. How did you begin that very first day at work creating these wonderful art pieces?
Oh, I'm not really. It kind of just, I was looking at my 101 babes and thinking about the stories that I wanted to tell with this new project. And I thought, why not tell the story about millennial and Gen Z girls as the new future of this revolution? And in terms of like, how I wanted to illustrate the women I was going to be making. I found it very interesting that not a lot of collectible projects featuring women explored the different shapes and sizes the woman could be. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have the very, like, for example, my Encryptas take up space very differently than the typical avatar. They're kind of on the side, but they're still in the middle. And the women are more powerful in their shape, because I wanted people to think about the different ways a woman's power could take. So that's kind of why you see the shape of my Encryptas.
Right. And you know, I see this in a lot of other projects as well, where there's 10,000 pieces of art, right? How do you come up with that differentiations in traits and features? Like no same art has three or more of the same features or traits, right? So how do you come up with planning that process of creating while making the art?
Yeah, well, you have to take into consideration what the algorithm or the code will be. So with our developer, we talked about how many traits we would need in order to come up with like 10,000 unique pieces. And from there, we came up with the numbers to have, you know, like 30 hairs, 25 clothes, 15 pieces of jewelry, and like, what essentially happened in the creation process is I made a little bit more types of hairs and types of clothes, because it was just so much fun to imagine the different ways that the Encryptas would look. But essentially, you take into consideration what the code will be. And from there, you can decide how many traits you will make.
Right. Take me through this process, Cypher. In terms of creating an NFT art project, how is it so different from, you know, just creating these one-to-ones and the other aspects? Like you said, the developers and the coders and everything comes into the picture here as a project, rather than one individual person creating an art and just uploading there for sale. What really goes behind this process of creating so many unique pieces of art?
Well, I think the very big difference about making a collectible compared to like 101 is like you're really thinking about this project as a company. People are going to be buying these as your stakeholders. So you want to have value we want each piece to have value, even if like the traits are less rare. Mm-hmm. So going into each piece, even if one piece is a little bit less rare, you want each piece to still be beautiful, to be powerful, to be compelling. So they'll have value for the person who's going to be able to collect it. Right. You're also working with your team to think about what the benefits of each trait could be and things like that, as well as you're working with your team when you're creating a process for a collectible. Compared to when I'm making my 101s, it's a very like interpersonal experience making the art.
Okay, interesting. And you know, before this also, the project that you did, the Babe 101, with respect to launching that project and launching Encryptus, of course, there was a gap of a few months.
Mm-hmm.
How has it transformed during this phase? You know, it's very volatile in nature, as well as it's very rapidly, as more and more people are getting exposed to NFT and being a part of this, it's rapidly changing with respect to the behavior of how people are consuming the art, collecting the art, or even creating the art. So have you seen a huge transformation or a change yet from your previous project to now?
Well, I would say that the collectors that I have in the Encryptus project compared to the 101 Babes, yes, they are different. Now you have a group of people who really do have a say in what's going to happen to the value of their collectible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people who are acting as stakeholders in your project compared to those who are collecting your art because they loved it. Obviously, you have people who still enjoy the art of Encryptus, but now they're very much a part to how the 101 Babes and the Encryptus is going to evolve. So the relationship that I have with my collectors is now something of a community as we're growing and building together.
Right. And you know, though I'm very new to this NFT world and I see a lot of creators putting their work out there in threads for exposure, right? How does a creator not let themselves get affected by the whole sales aspect, or be it with praises or no sales? How do you not get affected when people are not minting or you know, being a part of your project?
Well, I think something that can really help is if you have a long-term approach. I think it's hard to do that when typically the success of a collectible happens overnight. They sell out within 3 hours or things like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, like in a regular business, it takes many years before success of that kind can be reached. So we have to really remember that when we're in this space that yes, like things happen really fast, but there's nothing wrong with a long-term approach to growth as well.
But you know, does it affect you by in terms of as a personal artist, not from a community perspective, does it affect you? Or when you started your NFT journey, did it affect you at any point of time when your art pieces weren't selling?
Yeah, I think it's very human to have these emotions. But you know, when you've been in the crypto game as well, you know that like emotions are just something you have to put aside, and you have to have faith in where the market is going.
Mm-hmm. So then what's your pro tip to new creators to not get affected by it?
I think it's just to make art that you really love and believe in, like put out the work that you think is best and build your community. And there's going to be eyes that are going to love your art.
Right.
But it does take patience, and you know, it does take hard work to get your art seen by the right pair of eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Okay. And what if someone isn't a professional artist, right? But has a taste to abstract or even wants to explore creating some art, wants to learn and experiment it, you know, in any form of art. What are the platforms, tools, or softwares that you recommend for every creator or artist to explore to start creating NFT art?
Well, in terms of platforms for selling, I think OpenSea is a great place to start. They have a really great interface, user interface. It's quite intuitive how to use the platform. Also, like, you save a lot on gas fees compared to other platforms. So that's a really great place to start. It's also quite popular to use. In terms of tools to use, that usually does depend on the artist. I tend to use Clip Studio Paint and Krita. I love the open source aspect of Krita, and I love the vector usage on Clip Studio. But I would say to do your own research about which illustration tools to use as a new artist.
Okay. And from this company aspect that you spoke about, where do you find your resources to perform, to form this perfect company and start, talking about various unique pieces to generate?
Yeah. So, I mean, the team does take inspiration from previous successes of projects. That's a great place to start. You don't always have to reinvent the wheel. It's great to find things that worked and how you can find ways to make those strategies better. The community also is great with collaborating and finding ways to keep growing and building. So it's always just a team effort. There's no such thing as a perfect company, but you work with your team and your community to make that close as possible.
Right. Okay. And before I conclude this round of question, I'm very keen on understanding from your 10,000 unique pieces of art. Tell me three, at least, your inspirations or story behind, or your favorite ones out of those. And what does it stand for, and what's the story behind it?
I guess my favorite story behind a trait would be the exploration of the body. I love how the encryptos take up space of the 4,000 by 4,000 pixel frame that they're in. I think it's powerful, it's bold, and it speaks a lot about what women can do. Mm-hmm. That's honestly one of my favorite traits about encryptos. Another favorite trait that I have would have to be the uptown flower dress. It's one of the more rare traits, and it was inspired by the movie Uptown Girls. A movie about two women healing and growing with each other in a way that only women can with one another.
Right.
And I also really like the best friend lockets that I made. So they're two separate necklaces, but we have an activity going on to find your best friend. So you have to find an encryptos with a matching necklace to yours. And it's just a great way to build community and bring people together.
Right. Wow. Wonderful there. And Cypher, with that, we conclude the first round of questions. I am going to change gears now and ask you some quick questions in the rapid fire round. So are you ready for this?
I think so.
Okay. Five NFT terms every creator or artist should know according to you.
Five NFT terms?
Mm-hmm.
Utility, marketplace. Gas, bidding war. I'm sorry, I only have four for that.
Which is the most common term that you use with respect to short forms when it comes to the NFT lingo?
Definitely LFG is the one. Or WGMI.
Okay. And what does it stand for those people who are not familiar with NFT?
We have Let Frickin' Go, and we're going to make it.
Okay, super. Best place for artists should go to create a community or communities to join to talk about their art?
I think Twitter is the great place to start. You definitely find your community there. And there you meet people who will probably invite you into their group Twitter chat or their Discord. So Twitter is a great place to start, and then you start branching from there.
Right. Okay. Three artists or individuals who inspire you the most?
NFT artists or artists?
Artists in general.
Gustav Klim. An artist that really inspires me in the NFT space is Ryan. And another artist that really inspires me in the NFT space is Angela Mantia.
Okay. Your favorite NFT projects right now would be, and why?
I think my favorite NFT project would have to be World of Woman. I really love what they do. And it's the artist is one of my NFT friends as well. And I think they're really expanding and growing.
Okay. And there's a saying that a true masterpiece does not tell everything. Agree or disagree? And if you agree, then what does your masterpiece say?
I agree. I think the masterpiece doesn't always say everything. It's the interpreter that finishes the story.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Okay. And finally, what's planned for you and your projects in the coming weeks?
So the next things we're doing right now is our Encryptas and 101 Babes auction. So I have my next 101 Babe is going to be held for auction exclusively to holders in the Cypher CHK dimension, which I'm really excited for. We're going to be listing it at a little bit lower floor price to make it accessible for holders to have access to a 101. That's something I'm really excited to unfold.
Oh, fantastic. And finally, before we summon up our conversations, your 5 quick tips for artists who haven't started their NFT journey, but want to?
I guess I would say first start now. Late is better than never. Then I would say to make art that you love and to tell a message that you really believe in. I would say to find your NFT friends and build your community. I would tell them to be patient, and I would also tell them to do their own research.
Fantastic. Wow. Great stuff there. And Cypher, with that, we have come to the end of this episode. I have to say, I love your work. And as inspiring as your art is, so is your journey. And I love the mystery behind the anonymous name and the face. And where can our listeners know more about you and your work?
The best place to find the information would be Twitter. And then on my Twitter, you'll have access to join the Discord, see my website, and check out the Medium, where I have a little bit of in-depth about the projects that I'm going into.
Right. Could you spell out your handle and your website?
Yeah. So it's at CypherCHK. So CypherCHK. And my website is CypherCHK.com.
Lovely. Great, Cypher. I had a great time hosting you. Hope you enjoyed your time on the show as well.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Super. Best wishes always. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
And so that brings us to the end of our very first episode of the new season. And before we leave, here is an interesting fact for the day. Earlier in August 2021, Visa bought CryptoPunk, one of the thousands of NFT-based digital avatars, for nearly $150,000 in Ethereum. And that's about it for today. This is Dakshin Adyantaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms or get in touch with me on thedeliberatedogs@gmail.com. Join us next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.